Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
This is Dr. Egon Spengler of the TV show Real Ghostbusters, and you're listening to This Week in Geek with Mike the Birdman Dodd and the rest of the Twig crew. Twig crew. Don't we have him in the containment system, Peter?
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. Games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. This Week in Geek. This Week in Geek.
Hey guys, what's going on? This is Mike, Captain Awesome Dodd, otherwise known as Birdman on This Week in Geek. And I'm here doing a special for the Game Heroes and This Week in Geek. So one of the games I've been looking forward to over the last little while is a game from BioWare called Mass Effect 2. You guys know the story, Commander Shepard fighting evil space aliens and guys with all sorts of cool guns, gadgets, and even having a little bit of loving on the way. So you've all seen these things over at game trailers where they're talking about the heavy gravity gun and the Terminus armor and the commercials on TV, which are ultimately a lot of kick-ass. So I've been doing a lot of research into this game, and I decided I really want to reach out and touch someone from a planet far, far away. And I got hooked up with BioWare's project director, Casey Hudson. This is one of the guys who's basically behind all this Mass Effect madness. So I want to welcome Casey to the show. Casey, welcome to This Week in Geek and the Game Heroes.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, absolutely, man. So Mass Effect 2, why don't you catch my listeners up on the story so far for those who may not haven't had a chance to play with Commander Shepard just yet?
Well, I guess, first of all, if you've never played Mass Effect 1, if you know nothing about the Mass Effect experience, Mass Effect 2 is actually still an excellent starting point. It actually pulls you in with a great opening sequence. It is all self-explanatory, great tutorial, and it just draws you right in. But if you've played the first one, then you know some of the backstory. Commander Shepard is the character that you're playing. Shepard is a soldier of the Human Alliance. Humanity is really just kind of new in the galaxy, and there are other civilizations out there. There are ships flying all over the entire span of the galaxy, thousands of planets. And what you discover is that there is this amazing galactic civilization out there, but it's idyllic, it's beautiful, but it's also kind of naive to some of the darker threats. And what you uncover as Commander Shepard is that there is a legend of these incredibly powerful, gigantic machines that sweep through the galaxy every 50,000 years and harvest the most advanced civilization and leave nothing in their wake. And that this cycle is about to happen again. And so obviously this is the biggest threat to the galaxy. And in Mass Effect 1, without giving away any spoilers who want to play it before Mass Effect 2, you're able to initially stop an invasion by these Reapers, but you know that they're still out there. And so now that we're in Mass Effect 2, you discover that there's an ongoing complication to this larger threat.
So in Mass Effect 2, one of the things that I've noticed, and this has got to be about the coolest thing I've ever seen taken on in a role-playing game, supposedly, and this is confirmed, that you can transfer save files over from Mass Effect 1. So any decisions you made in the first game affect the second game, right?
Absolutely. The interesting thing about creating an ongoing storyline, the way I always look at it is that if something isn't interactive in a game, in an interactive media, if it's not interactive, it really doesn't exist for the player because you didn't do it. You didn't interact with it. You can't feel anything for it. And we wanted to create a trilogy of stories so that people could get invested in the story that we're telling over something that goes beyond just one game. But if you think about a trilogy in gaming, it really isn't a trilogy if everyone's story pinches back to the same starting point in the next game, if the story is not interactive on a trilogy scale. And so that's why we needed to tie together the story of each game through your actions. And so what happens is, as you can expect from a really good role-playing game, as you make decisions throughout Mass Effect, you'll start to see the effect of these decisions in the way the universe is evolving, the way people react to you, and things like that. But when you play Mass Effect 2, if you have played the first game, you can import the save game from the final ending of that game, and that is your starting point for Mass Effect 2, which is really important because it means that Mass Effect 2 is a continuation of your story. It's not that the millions of people who've played the game all suddenly come back and to the same starting point. Everyone has a different starting point, their own character, the decision that they've made, the way that they've progressed their character. That becomes the starting point, and then it really flavors the entire experience with the way that you've already been playing it.
So I've got to say, Casey, that's rather ambitious. I've never heard of like any other game doing that. So that's really cool to see in Mass Effect 2. Now, I'm also kind of reading on some of my other kind of research here. It's talking about character death. And as you said, within the first game, the decisions you make affect the second game. And I'm reading one quote here from you. And it says, if Shepard dies at the end of this game, he's dead in number 3, right?
Yeah, I mean, the way to look at it is that this is the ongoing story of Mass Effect is the story of Commander Shepard. And so Commander Shepard is, would be the main character and the playable character in Mass Effect 3. And you can import the character from the end of Mass Effect 2 into that game, just like you can between 1 and 2. But obviously, if you die at the end of Mass Effect 2, there is no character to import. That's a tough one for a lot of people to wrap their head around. And I get a lot of questions of, well, okay, so then if you don't play Shepard, then who do you play in the third one? The answer is you either play Shepard or you're not able to import that character if your Shepard dies. So ultimately, it comes down to the ultimate consequence of the way that you play Mass Effect 2, the choices you make, the crew you put together, whether they're loyal, these things tie into your ability to survive the endgame. And the fact that you can die, real story death in Mass Effect 2, makes the concept of a suicide mission real. We wouldn't be true to that concept behind the storyline if it wasn't possible for the main character to die.
Wow, that's pretty ballsy for a like kind of video game. Like, I just got to say, that's really incredibly cool. Just the fact that to have those far-reaching consequences for a game that isn't even out yet. And so, depending on the squad mates that you have with you in the end, will that affect the beginning of like kind of future games too?
Yeah, one thing we always try to do is. Obviously, one of the biggest consequences of your decisions is when it's a life and death decision. Someone's going to die because of what you decide to do. If you're willing to make that sacrifice or some other kind of sacrifice, and that ends up kind of determining who survive that story into the next story. So if you play Mass Effect 2 and you're continuing a game from Mass Effect 1, there will be characters from Mass Effect 1 that might have died in your playthrough, and they'll be dead still in Mass Effect 2. That's a consequence that carries through. And then in Mass Effect 2, we give you a huge cast of characters to take with you. Some of them are from the first game, others are new, and then potentially some or all of them could die in this story, and then when you play the next game, again, whether or not these characters are alive in that story really comes down to what you did in this version, in Mass Effect 2.
Well, speaking of characters, who are some of the new characters that we're going to meet in Mass Effect 2 that you expect to have a huge impact and become really popular characters with the franchise?
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle.
It took 15 minutes to take a spirit animal quiz online.
Please be the cheetah. Please be the cheetah.
And learn your animal isn't the cheetah, but the far less appealing blobfish.
Oh, come on.
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 blobfish minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to Geico.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.
You know, we never really can tell. We try to build each character so that they kind of occupy a different piece of real estate in terms of what they're offering in their personality, in their ability. And the reason we do that is because we know the players themselves have very different personalities. People like different things. And so if we can offer characters that are different from one another, but also can be loved and hated, you know, then we know that each player is going to kind of have different favorites and find a different group that they really like to play with. And that's the opportunity of making a game. You know, when you think about a similar kind of storyline in a movie, if you have an ensemble cast, you kind of have to really love all the different characters because you have no choice. You're going to be stuck with them throughout the whole movie. In a game, you can say, wow, you know, these characters aren't really for me, but I love these two or three characters. And then your story becomes all about your experience with those characters. And so that's been a lot of the fun for us. But the interesting thing is, as much as those are the goals behind how we design these characters, we can never really predict which characters are going to be the breakouts. When we did Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, the big surprise to us was HK-47. And HK-47 had this huge following and was extremely popular. We never would have guessed that. And likewise, for Mass Effect 1, we didn't think Garrus, for example, would be particularly special, but people really loved Garrus. There's a lot of people that want to see a romance with Garrus. And Tally was another one that the biggest question that I've had on Mass Effect 2 is, what does Tally look like under her mask, and is there a romance with her? And, you know, we actually didn't predict that at all. So we just try to provide a really diverse cast and then let players tell us which ones were their favorite.
Now, speaking of cast, I'm looking at some of the people that are involved in this. I mean, you got Martin Sheen, you got Michael Dorn, you got Carrie Ann Moss. So right off the hop, you got the president from the West Wing, Worf, and Trinity, not to mention Caprica 6 from Battlestar Galactica, Seth Green, Spawn himself, Keith David. What was it like working with these Hollywood superstars to create the characters in Mass Effect 1 and 2 to really give them their own life?
Well, it's one of the things that allows us to really capture a very high caliber character. You know, I guess the Elusive Man would be a great example. The Elusive Man is supposed to be, you know, everything that you love or hate about humanity. He's the smartest guy in the room. He has an incredible amount of authority and confidence, but he's got all the vices. He smokes and drinks. He's a womanizer. But he's charming and manipulative and just all of these really great and really awful things in somebody that you love to hate and don't know if you can trust him. But to get that kind of charisma and authority, you know, this complex mix of things, you need a really special kind of actor. And, you know, when we really thought about who has that kind of voice and that kind of presence, you know, you think about Martin Sheen and, like you say, West Wing, Apocalypse Now, Wall Street. Like, he does these great roles where whatever he's doing, he's got a real presence and a sense of authority and command. So, you know, it's just perfect, and it really works for the character that we created. Keith David, another fantastic actor. For as long as I can remember, just hearing his voice, I knew that I would hope that someday we could use him to really capture a great character in one of our games. And then when we created Mass Effect, we knew that Captain Anderson was going to be a character with a B or moral compass in the game, and had to be able to speak with a sense of experience and a moral authority that you would want to listen to, and a real genuine kind of emotional friendship, but from the perspective of somebody who you look up to. And again, he just really captures that with a voice that we can write a line that we want to become, you know, classic or legendary, and then an actor of that caliber really has the ability to say that line in the way that you can always remember it.
Absolutely. I gotta say, like, you had such a great cast here, and I'm just so happy to see people like Michael Hogan, who plays Saul Tai in Battlestar Galactica, and Trisha Helfer, who has a wonderful performance as, like, Caprica 6. So I guess moving on into kind of gameplay here, you guys are gonna have a lot of DLC for the game. I mean, like, what are some of the things that are gonna be released when this game comes out on January 26th?
Well, we've got some announcements that are coming up in terms of the actual details and the timing of it, but one thing that we've been able to really improve for Mass Effect 2 is our ability to create different kinds of downloadable content, better quality downloadable content, and a lot more of it, too. We've made specific changes to the technology to allow us to do that. So that's something that people can look forward to. And we have a really good schedule for downloadable content starting pretty soon after the game launches and going out for many months after that. So it's one of the ways that we really want to be able to tell the ongoing story in the larger fiction of the universe.
Now, will these DLC missions, will they be a lead-in to Mass Effect 3, or will they be more side stories that happen within the scope of Mass Effect 2?
Well, I think we want to be able to do both, actually. I think initially, when a lot of people are still in the middle of their first game or they're playing through it another time, but they're kind of still immersed in the core story, a lot of it will be kind of supplemental stories that go in parallel. And then in the future, you know, as I say, I think this is a great venue for us to kind of tell the ongoing story that leads into the final episode in the trilogy.
Well, I gotta say, I'm really, really, really looking forward to this game. So, Casey, I really want to thank you for taking the time to speak to us on This Week in Geek. So, as a final question, what is something hidden that maybe our listeners could maybe look for in the game as kind of an in-joke or a cool homage to something nerdy?
Well, you know, Mass Effect 2 actually allowed us to do a lot of really fun things in the development of the game, just because we were beyond the process of just launching all this technology and really into the fun of the art and just having fun creating content. So there's a lot more kind of hidden stuff and Easter egg type stuff. A lot of it centered in your quarters on the ship. And so when you go to your quarters, in between missions and whatnot, there's a lot of great stuff that happens there. Some of it is hidden stuff and Easter egg type stuff. And there's something that you can do in your quarters that ties back to one of the games that we've made in our distant past. And I think that's something that people can look forward to and see if they can figure out what that is.
Well, man, I got to say, that's pretty awesome. So once again, Casey, thank you for joining us here on This Week in Geek. I definitely hope we'll be speaking again when Mass Effect 3 comes out.
All right. Well, thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right, guys. So that's pretty much going to do it for me. So be sure to be checking out Mass Effect 2. That hits stores on January 26th. If you can get the collector's edition of this, because you get cool additional in-game stuff. You get like a making of DVD, which is what I really want, because I love all the behind-the-scenes stuff. It's really neat. And you can get the soundtrack, which is done by Jack Wall. He's done stuff for like Splinter Cell and a bunch of other really cool games. So be sure to pick up that as well. So anyway, guys, that's going to do it for me. So until next time, live free or die hard, and I'm joining Shepard because I love to fight. I'll catch you guys next time right here on This Week in Geek and thegameheroes.com.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Remember, kids, buy pizza, pay with snakes.
What's your social media business card? My fist.
Just give me a big box of beef.
Don't give them ideas.
Don't forget our other twig project, GeorgeLucasHasLostHisMind.com.
Does Jesus have Matrix powers?
I think the Pillsbury Doughboy's albino.
I'd like to see a cat on Tourette's.
It's the moment I give up on life. Because then I don't know what to believe in anymore. When the Amish start twittering, I'm done.
Can we leave this subject alone?
Hello.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh no.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm confused. As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear Kyle Hebert say...
Today, the world. Tomorrow, the universe. Next week, my chiropractor. Ay, my back.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well as subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment about this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can also call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202 or email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by perpetualemotionmachine.ca. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Technology Truths, brought to you by Geico.
Technology Truths.
Truth. Teenagers can communicate entirely in emojis.
How was the birthday party? Pizza slice, kitten, soccer ball, pineapple?
Truth. It's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at geico.com.
What are you talking about? Paperclip, shoulder shrug, high five, wizard hat? What?
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
You shouldn't go to Barnes & Noble and buy 10,000 books just so you can build a book fortress and yell out, "I am your book leader." You shouldn't buy 147 copies of War and Peace, stuff them inside turkeys, and serve them at Thanksgiving as turbookins. And you definitely shouldn't buy up all the copies of Dork Diaries, causing the neighborhood kids to stage a protest in your front yard. But you could, because at the Barnes & Noble Book Haul, you can get over 1,000 titles for 50% off. Stock up at your local Barnes & Noble. Turbookins are fictitious and should not be cooked at home.